This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Dub Wolf, and I've got Taz Latifi coming on today to talk to you. We're going to talk about Petropolis and also about pet food, because, you know, I've had so many experts on the show, and oftentimes it's veterinarian Dr. Jory Bochnick from Toronto. And you know he's a fan of the commercial brands and the packaged brands and the vet-tested, tried-and-true, most accepted by veterinarian brands, in particular Royal Canin. You know that's how he rolls. And when I ask him things like, what about grain-free? What about raw? What about cooked? What about byproducts? He acts as if I'm asking him about curing cancer with crystals. So we're going to go talk to somebody with a different perspective in just a minute. But before we get to that, because I know you're hanging on the edge for that, I am going to be reading labels, and we're going to be talking about the ingredients that you're probably unknowingly feeding your pets, thinking you're doing the right thing. And you may even be spending a lot more than you need to do the wrong thing. So we're going to fix that. But first, I've got a couple of news items for you, because there's been some crazy pet stuff. Okay, this takes the cake. In April, in Russia, I mean, come on, this is too funny. A woman gets arrested for drug smuggling, but how was she doing it? Well, she had a pram, like an old-fashioned baby buggy, and inside the baby buggy was a pretend baby, but the pretend baby was covering up drugs. So why did she get busted? Well, the pretend baby wasn't a baby at all. It wasn't even a doll. It was an actual meowing pussycat dressed in baby clothes. And yes, she got busted. So do not use a cat to conceal your drugs when smuggling them, people. Not going to work. Not going to work at all. Bad, bad idea. Okay. And then we had a pig incident. I always love when there's a pig incident, because pigs are super smart and very unpredictable. And well, this pig, a bear got into its enclosure and it escaped in Maple Ridge, where I live. And so the pig was wandering along the road, a one-year-old pig named Brenda, of all things. And so she got away from the bear, and there was nothing wrong with her. And people who were driving by saw this big pig on the road and knew there was something wrong. So they pulled over and they took care of her. And then a vet was called and the SPCA was called and the pig was rescued. But picture this, okay? You're out with your wife or your husband, nice night, you're all dressed up, you're on your way home, and you spot a pig in the middle of the road. So somehow you find yourself involved in an activity that lasts hours and involves loading a 250-pound pig into an SPCA vehicle. So hell of an evening. Yeah. Okay. Good for you, people. All right. And then let's see, one more news item I want to do. Okay. This guy, lucky guy, he's a kayaker out in Vancouver, where I'm from, and British Columbia, Canada. And he's on the water and he's kayaking, and he gets surrounded by a pod of orca whales, you know, also known as killer whales, because they like meat. So anyway, his comment was a peaceful event. And as you can see him in the news that day, it was April 4th. Surrounded by these whales, and he's in his little kayak, this tiny little man in his tiny little kayak. And so Mike Derbyshire said about the experience, "You feel pretty vulnerable." Well, yeah, I'm guessing that sums it up, Mike. Okay, so now we're going to go talk about pets and pet food. We've done our weird animal news for the day, and I may just end the show with another. Oh, yes, I'm going to end the show. The very end of the show, I'm going to come back and talk to you about the boa constrictor. How'd you like to have that loose in your neighborhood? Okay, so Taz, welcome to the show, Taz.
Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you on. I had another guest on, and we were talking about pet foods, and she said, you're the person to ask. So what do you think about the commercial pet foods in general? And then we'll go into some specifics. What's your take on this?
There are so many brands. Commercial pet foods can be great. and they could be terrible. And the lack of regulations really where it makes it hard for pet owners and even pet retailers to figure out what's real and what's not. And you have this body called WSAVA who oversees how things are formulated, partnerships with Purina and Royal Canin, and they regulate, they kind of talk about what good pet food is. And it's often the commercial brands that are Purina, Mars, Royal Canin. So look, there's good and bad in everything. In our supermarkets, there's good products and bad products. It's what you choose to do. And looking at the labels, a lot of times we really can't tell what is right for our pets. Are all those ingredients with the synthetic vitamins, it's interesting. I was just looking at a science diet bag and they had pecan hulls as one of their ingredients. So that's considered a fiber, right? So are these all good? We're using waste products in pet food to give them nutrients because that makes food, it makes the world more sustainable. There's so many ways of looking at this. Food is a very personal choice. I have nothing good nor bad to say about anyone's personal choices. We all have to live with the consequences of our actions and what we choose to put in our bodies and our animals' bodies. And the results come about with what happens with health. You know, is the animal having chronic yeasty coat? Are they itchy all the time? Do they have inconsistent stools? That's all related to food. And there's no magic pill other than proper nutrition.
And ear infections too, chronic ear infections in some of the swimming dogs and the deep water, deep eared dogs. The people think they can't get around it because their dog is a lab who likes to swim or a golden who likes to swim. But actually, if you change the food, you might find that you have no more ear problem. So, and it is very personal, like you say, but I do notice over the years, there've been some trends. So like when my grandmother would have had a dog follow her home from the market, some little cross terrier, and she would have fed it table scraps and it would have lived till 15, 16 years old without anyone knowing what its actual birth date was. So really old little dog. Compare that to the customers I see at my boarding kennel who get the most premium, most expensive food, sometimes frozen, you know, stomach and raw ingredients, sometimes homemade meals, sometimes packaged foods, and they don't seem to live as long. So it makes me wonder what's going on.
That's an interesting point. What's going on is that the quality of our soil has changed. What the animals, our animals are consuming is a factor that we need to take into consideration. Are those cows and chickens being fed a species appropriate diet or not? And if they're not, how do we expect our animals to get any nutrients from them?
Whoa, wait. Didn't we learn not to do that with Mad Cow? Didn't we stop feeding animals the wrong animals?
Well, we're not feeding animals the wrong animals, but what I'm saying is cows don't eat grains, they eat grass. So if a cow is not eating grass and they're being fed grains and corn and byproducts or whatever it is that they're being fed in a confined farming environment, a confined
right. Okay. Space. So you're talking about the difference between small scale, free range, organic versus massive scale factory farming. It's very hard to make a profit, honestly. I have chickens and they're very natural and all that, but you know, people aren't going to pay very much for the eggs. So you end up breaking even and getting a farm tax subsidy here, which helps with your, you know, your bills. But it would be very hard to make a living off it.
Yes, but how do we protect our health if we're going to choose to eat poorly? Shouldn't we invest mostly in our food and food system before anything else? I know people who are happy to buy Gucci bags instead of buying quality food for their pets. They complain about the cost of quality food, but they have 13 Gucci bags in their closet.
Oh gosh, you're hitting on something here. When I have a dog check into the kennel and it's got bling, you know, like diamonds, like actual jewelry, but it comes with, you know, the most grocery bought bag of crapola food. And I think, okay, it's wearing like $500 on its collar, but like you can't spring for, I don't know, some meat. Yeah. So, okay. So what should people do? We're going to come back from break. What's the best diet instead of criticizing? And I would still like to read the labels though, but because they got things like chicken byproduct is the first ingredient here on this bag of cat food that I bought specifically because I knew I'd be coming on the show with you, because I find it really weird that they're now trying to say, like, this bag says Persian, as if a Persian cat needs something completely different from every other cat. Now, it does have longer hair, and so there might be a formula for hairballs. But, I mean, it's just so strange to me that you would buy, like, a food for an Irish setter, or food for a golden retriever, or food for a boxer, or food for a Persian. So we're going to come back and talk about some of that and try and help you steer through some of this marketing on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back with Kaz Latifi on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and we're talking about food. So what do you think about that? This Persian-only kitten food.
That's funny. I'm Persian, but I'm sure I eat this. I mean, if we went out to a restaurant, we'd probably order similar stuff. I'm vegan, but
that's so funny.
Really?
Really? Honestly, I could send you a picture of the bag.
I know.
It's kitten Persian. That's what it says. Feline breed nutrition. Kitten Persian. That's exactly what it says. It has a pretty little picture.
Well, kitten, yes. Kitten, yes. Absolutely. Kittens require more fat and more protein than adult cats. Absolutely. The kitten pork, yes. They require a higher amount of DHA.
Puppies need different nutrients, just like kids need different than adults. Understood. But Persian, not so much. Okay. So what do you think about those ingredients I read? So in the kitten Persian bag, which is full, because I'm not going to use it. It says chicken my cats are like, why not? Open it up. Chicken byproduct meal, brewer's rice, chicken fat, corn, wheat gluten, natural flavors, pea fiber, grain distillers, dried yeast, dried plain beet pulp, because every cat loves beet pulp. Anyway, fish oil, vegetable oil, sodium silicate, and now it gets very complicated. Everything else. So we've just read three lines of the ingredients, fish oil, vegetable oil, 2.5 lines. And from there on, 1, 2, 3, about 12 lines are chemicals. Within brackets, after each chemical name is what it's supposed to be. So long chemical name, and then it says source of vitamin E. Long chemical name, and then it says source of B6. Long chemical name, and then vitamin D3, that sort of a thing, all the way down. Potassium chloride, hydrolyzed yeast, trace minerals.
There's a lot. Okay, you can talk about it all you want, and it's not going to get us anywhere. Cats are obligate carnivores, so why would they need a highly digestible carbohydrate like brewer's rice to give them energy where they get their energy from proteins and fats? So, I mean, that would be my starting question to the veterinary nutritionist that formulated this. So cost is always the factor. The reason why you have this ingredient panel is because they can't put enough meat in there to meet the cat's needs as an obligate carnivore. And then you have to add everything else to make it palatable and then process it. And after all the heat's added, you have to add a supplement pack to give them the nutrients they need because everything was destroyed in the heating process. And is it normal for us to be feeding animals dry products, dry, no, with less than 10% moisture? We need fluids to help flush the body out, to help move food along in the digestive tract. I don't understand this dry food concept other than meeting the needs of people who want everything to be convenient. It doesn't work. And this is why we have so many disease states. It has nothing to do with anything other than humans being lazy and making choices that are for immediate gratification as opposed to overall well-being of our environment, of our pet's health. And we claim we love these animals, but we don't put anything into it. I'm not saying you have to be wealthy. You don't. You can buy quality meat at Costco, add a vegetable to it, puree a portion of vegetable, and get the right supplements for your cat. You can blend it together. The portioning's available, and feed them on a daily basis a quality cooked food if you're worried about pathogens from raw. Information's available. Dr. Barbara Royal has a food formulator that offers pet owners 2 or 3 free recipes. You can go and look it up and put in your own, get a recipe out of it. So there's options available for pet owners, but people don't want to take the time to make food. And they're also confused when they go to pet stores. They don't know what to buy. And there's a lot of different information being given to the pet owner. One store will tell you one thing, whereas another will tell you something else. There's a lack of consistency with the information that's being fed to the public. And that is all marketing.
When you say that dry food is not as good as wet, so immediately people will think, okay, then I'll buy cans. So I look at the can and it says water sufficient for processing. But then basically after that, it seems like almost the same ingredients. If I were to read it out, like really, it's very hydrolyzed chicken liver, hydrolyzed soy protein. So that's what you're talking about, where they bake it at such high heats that it destroys all the nutrients, right? And then vegetable oil, powdered cellulose. So like, that's just filler, right? And that's way high. So I don't know if this can is any better.
No, that can's not any better. But I'm just saying, starting with dry inconvenience. You read the dry ingredients? I was talking about the dry. But canned is not any better. And again, going into pet stores, there's a lot of misinformation. And what drives it all is price. It's a lower quality price. But you can still do quality foods and not have to pay a high price. You can even make your own food. There's options, or even add fresh foods. Yeah, you know, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Are you saying that for some people, they could use the kibble and then add to it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's an easy thing to do.
They can get better kibble. So if they go into a pet store and look at the back of a bag, you want at least the first 3 ingredients to be meat.
Right.
Not meat byproducts, but meat. Chicken, chicken hearts, turkey. Hopefully there's liver in there as well, the next ingredient, right?
But sometimes it's duck, sometimes it's something else, right? Whatever, it doesn't have to be chicken. It could be lamb. It could be...
Yeah, I prefer it not be soy.
Right, okay. So no soy, or just not the first 3 ingredients?
How about, why would there need to be soy?
Why would there need to be soy? No, there really isn't a need, is there?
Were dogs eating tofu? Were dogs eating tofu when they were hunting, you know, the antler? No. And cats were not eating tofu when they were going after that rabbit. No.
Right.
Makes no sense.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
You eat the animal's gut that contains digested vegetation, some digested fiber. It's just not that hard. We keep moving away from what's natural, and that's eating species appropriate diets for us and for them. For us, we can eat whatever we want, it seems.
I think sometimes people don't, you know, we tend to think of dogs and cats as these almost strict carnivores. And I do see them choosing to eat greens quite a lot. And to give you an example, like for years, I've been trying to get my rosemary to grow and I can't figure out why it won't grow. I'm in the perfect climate. Other people have 6-foot tall hedges. And then I saw my dogs pulling the little rosemary seedlings I had planted out and eating them. They were so excited to see them, went running out to the patio and boom, 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 all gone in a second. So they like rosemary or blueberries. I used to have this dog called Raspberry. She died a few years ago, but she would go into a bramble bush and come out with her whole muzzle stained purple from eating berries. right? She knew she liked berries, you know? So sometimes dogs show us what they want, but you do have to be careful when you're adding these things. I just want to caution people, make sure you check into it, because there are some really simple foods that are dangerous for dogs, like grapes and raisins and things that people wouldn't necessarily think of. So you want to make sure. Onions, yeah.
I have to tell you, so many people are buying, they think bone broth has become trendy, right? So yeah. They're buying it from the supermarket and it contains onions and onion powder, and they're giving it to their cats and dogs. Most dogs will eat if you offer it to them. So if they're consistently giving their pet something that contains onions or onion powder, they can really get sick and become anemic. And then that person will automatically blame bone broth as a whole. Not their choice, but they'll blame bone broth and put it all over social media that bone broth killed their dog. So we have to be careful. Choose properly. Information's available.
We have to go to one more break. We're going to come back and talk more about pet food with Taz Latifi. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I hear what you're saying about that, you know, where they post on social media and they say, this caused that, but did it really? You know, and it's sometimes I find customers will send their dogs to Camp Good Dog with these very elaborate diets and sometimes medicines and strict instructions about allergies. And then they'll say, any treats are okay. Well, what do you mean any treats are okay, right? No wonder your dog is itchy, scratchy. It's getting a constant supply of garbage treats, random, miscellaneous. You haven't figured out what it's allergic to. And maybe it's not what you think, right? So you have to do some detective work sometimes. So, okay, so meat as the first few ingredients, no soy. What do you think about, like, there was a period about a year and a half ago, I think, where all the pet foods were advertising, or many of them, we had a formula with grain-free, no grain. And then that was very big. But then I had a couple of veterinarians on talking about a study where it seemed like the grain-free diet was causing heart issues for dogs. Do you know anything about that?
I do. And there was a lot of misinformation. And the FDA was a huge part of this as well. My suggestion, if anyone's interested in understanding what was really going on, look up Dr. Ryan Yamka and read the articles that he wrote negating the misinformation that was put out there about grain-free diets. It was such a mess. It was a combination of marketing tactics and an opinion of a veterinary nutritionist, bring everything together, and then the confusion caused by social media keyboard heroes that created the havoc. And unfortunately, these amazing smart vets kind of all went in and were confused by the whole process themselves. So if grains were to cause any kind of cardiac disease, that animal must have some kind of issue that is genetic and the food exacerbates it.
But it was grain-free that was rumored to be causing.
And that's the thing. It could be the grain-free as well. So if not having grains and the other ingredients that supposedly replace the grains were the factors, then there is some kind of pre-existing issue with that animal, right? So it's not as black and white as grain-free or grain-in. And that's all I want your audience to understand. with health, it's multifactorial. And what if, they didn't have enough information at that time, and they started pointing fingers at brands, and it was an ugly period. And then every brand that had grain-free came out with grain-in diets, and then they added taurine to their diets.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's real anymore. You know, taurine comes from meat. What does it have to do with grains? Don't grains deplete the absorption of that taurine? That's my understanding nutritionally. So, and Dr. Ryan Yamka actually points that out in all his research, and he formulated for Science Diet. He works with a farmer's dog. So we have to be careful what we believe.
Well, in some, you know what? I see a lot of the marketing toward human taste, like the farmer's dog in particular, when you mention that, their commercials, you know, does it look like real food? Would you want to eat it? Would you? Yeah, well, my dog eats like, would want to eat like, you know, venison found in a mud puddle after 3 weeks. Like, we don't have the same taste, you know? And so does it have to look good to me? Like, for years, they've been coloring the food. Well, dogs don't care if the food is red and yellow or if the bits are different shapes. That's for us, right? They don't care. That's not it. They're all about taste. So you kind of have to weed through some of this, but it's interesting. Farmer's dog, you know, the commercials speak to me. I see that and I think, yeah, I should be feeding something that looks like food. I should be, you know, it shouldn't be processed for their whole life. But on the other hand, isn't it just as easy to get a crock pot out and throw some ingredients in there, no onions, no garlic, and make a really plain stew?
It is. What do you put in there? And that's where the fear of grains comes in. And with my one-on-one clients, I had one client who had 80% carbohydrates in her dog's food. And she was, the vet had told her, put the dog on a whole food diet, make your own food, and gave her a recipe that was mostly carbohydrates. And this dog put more weight on.
Well, that's a weird thing too. All the I noticed that about the low-cal foods, the senior foods, they're all high carb. Why is that? You know what I mean?
It's added fiber to fill them up. So the assumption is they'll eat less. So, but those are dogs, not, and even humans. We eat more fiber. We eat more carbohydrates. We tend to crave it more, right? So balance. Why are we so quick to always look for that magic pill? There is no magic pill. Balance.
So, okay, let me ask you. I think our listeners would want to know, what do you feed your dog and your cat?
So I have been feeding raw since the late 90s, when I first got my cat in the late 90s. So I've always been a raw feeder. And that was for my felines. My dogs have never been fed any kibble. And honestly, this is not about putting myself on a pedestal or anything like that. It's just what I feel works best for them. And they've done great with it. And one of my dogs had chronic hip condition and I had to watch his weight. So the raw, he did very well on. And I changed it. I didn't stay with one brand. I would make my own once in a while, but I gave him variety. And depending on where you live and what's available to you, look at the ingredients, see how the companies, if you're going to do raw, see how the companies manage quality control and mitigate pathogens and choose properly and make sure that on the raw side, there is an excellent veterinary nutritionist who oversees the ingredient formulations. You don't want someone who just researched it online, putting it together for you. So, you know, for a business and saying it's, you know, it's a whole food because they ran some tests.
Earlier, you mentioned, I believe, Dr. Barbara Royal. Is that what you said? Has a couple of free recipes for dog food and cat food?
Dr. Barbara Royal.
Okay. So everyone, that's where you can go to make sure you get the right recipe. Thank you very much for joining us today, Taz. It's been terrific.
Thank you, Deb.
All right, everybody. So thank you to Taz Latifi. And now we know better about what to feed our pets. And I will finish off the show with your little boa constrictor moment. So how would you like to live in an apartment, fancy, swanky neighborhood, Kitsilano, Vancouver, down by the beach, and they tell people to be aware there's an escaped boa constrictor. It's 6 feet long. No, don't worry about it. Very friendly. And it escaped down a fire escape and it's missing. So this went on for days. And finally, the owner opened the cage and put some food in there and it went back. So all is well. But I was just thinking of living in that apartment building. Like, how do you even sleep? Apparently, the owner told the police when they asked her, you know, should the public be worried? She said, well, she doesn't bite unless threatened. Okay, so don't threaten a boa constrictor if you see one crawling through the fire escape. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I hope I helped you figure out what to feed your pets with Taz Latifi. And from me, Deb Wolf and Animal Party, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.